Welcome to the Until Sunday podcast with Pastor Ben. I'm glad you could join us today. And today I'm going to be talking about something that I really like talking about. And that is, how do you know that you're really saved? How do you know that you're really a Christian? So many people have come to me over the years. A lot of times it's older people who, as they get even closer to those old age and they don't know how long they have to live, they'll ask me, they say, how can I know for sure that I really am saved, that one day when I die, that I'll really be in heaven? Which is a great question, because right now we have so many things in our world that have all different viewpoints about what happens when a person dies and how they get to heaven, how they be there. That's why you see so many different faiths all over the world, so many different religions. And within different religions and faiths, you'll see so many different denominations and branches of these. It's just all over the place. And there's people that hear something and they go, well, is that the truth? And they hear something else and say, well, maybe that's the truth. And they'll see somebody who has a very deep, sincere belief in something. And they think, well, if they believe it so sincerely, maybe that's the truth. But we need to talk about, what does it really mean to be saved? And the word saved is a biblical term that's talking about saved from eternity in hell and saved into heaven with God forever. So that's the big question. How do we know that we have that salvation? There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then in verse 6, it kind of carries on that. And it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, we need to look at what it says about that faith is confidence in what we hope for. And the question is, okay, well, what do we hope for? Well, there's a few things I've seen that we all hope for. I think most everybody who tries to seek God and tries to seek what's truth about him and his word, there's a few things we all hope for. The first one is we always hope that he exists. It's one thing to say, I know God exists. And it's easy to say, well, I've seen it in creation and the things that he's made. And that's true. The Bible tells us that's how we can know that. But at the same time, none of us have ever seen God. We've never seen him face to face. And we don't know anyone who's seen him face to face. None of us have ever seen heaven. We've never seen where he lives. And so sometimes it's normal for people to say, well, you know, well, I hope he exists. And there's no scientific fact, is just we hope that. And another thing that we hope about the Christian message is that we hope that the resurrection of Jesus is true. We hope that 2,000 years ago, he really did rise from the dead, because if he did, then everything he said about himself and about God and about salvation and eternal life, all that is true. But the truth of the matter is, none of us were there. We weren't there 2,000 years ago. We have the record of people who were there. And what we're doing is we're taking their eyewitness account and we place our faith in that, our hope in that. But it's hope simply because we weren't there. There's no video of it. There's no pictures of it. It's just what people have said. And so we hope that Jesus really rose from the dead, because if he'd conquered death and said that we can too, that's what we hope for eternal life. The other thing we hope for is that we hope there really is life after death. We hope that when we take our last breath, we hope that when we see others take their last breath, that we are immediately in a wonderful and glorious place. And religions around the world have all different answers about what happens when a person dies. And if you've heard all of them, it's everything on the spectrum about what happens to people. Everything from reincarnation to other people saying, well, you get your own planet, and just all kinds of stuff that people say might happen. And then there's other people that say nothing happens. They say when you take your last breath, you just cease to have consciousness and your body begins to deteriorate, and that's it. There's nothing after this life. And we all want there to be the truth that there is something after we die. But all it is hope. There's only one way to know for sure that there's a God. There's only one way to know that Jesus is risen from the dead. And there's only one way to know that you can live after you die. And that is, you have to die. And so that's a scary thing for some people to say, well, how can we really know what's there? But then there's another thing that people come up in their hope, and that is they hope that the way they learned about salvation, or were told was the way of salvation, really is the right way. Because this is where you get into everything under the sun about people saying, here's how you become a true Christian, a true child of God, how you receive eternal life. And you have things in the Catholic Church that says, well, you go to purgatory when you die, and you got to spend time in purgatory, which is not in the Bible. There's nowhere in Scripture that says anything about purgatory or anything that would even allude to a purgatory. It's just not there. It's something the Catholic Church just made up. And then you have other people that say, well, that in order to be baptized, to be a Christian, you're baptized as an infant. And if you're baptized as an infant, then that's your way of being saved. There's another group in a church I used to serve in. There was a church right down the street from us. And they said that the only way to heaven was you have to be physically baptized in that particular church. Everybody else was wrong. They all had it wrong, and you had to be baptized there. And they even said you could lose your salvation many, many, many times in your life. And every time you sinned, you had to run back to that church and get baptized again to get saved again. And so there were people that were constantly going in there, being baptized over and over and over, thinking, well, that's going to be their way of salvation. And there's other people who say, well, you just have to be really religious, or you have to do really good works. And you say, what is the real way to be saved? Now, the way I was brought up and the way I was understood the Bible was that salvation was a free gift of God. And there's nothing I could do to earn it, because there's nothing in me good enough to deserve his forgiveness and to be made right with him and what the Bible calls righteousness. That it was just a free gift from a loving God, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And that it was something that we would just call out to God in a sincere heart and ask him to forgive us of our sin and come into our life, that he would save us from eternity in hell and give us eternal life with him. And so there was a time in my life where I grew up, my background is I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Texas, and I went there all the time. I was there on Sunday mornings every single week, and Sunday night every single week, and every Wednesday. My family was very, very involved in church, but I knew that the church was not going to save me just because I had good attendance or because I did the right things. And I knew that there was another way biblically that we must be saved. So I want to talk to you about that for just a moment, about what it really means to have true salvation that is based in faith. And one of the things about this, everything has to go back to Jesus. Everything has to go back to what Jesus said was the way. Because Jesus, for some people in the world, they look at him as just a teacher. They even say he may have been a prophet. But Jesus said something very exclusive in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, no one can come to the Father except through me. He said he was the only way of salvation. So all these other things out there that people say, well, maybe it's this way to salvation, or maybe it's this religion or that religion or whatever. Nothing matters in the eyes of a believer, of a Christian, than what Jesus said. And he said he's the only way to salvation. So we need to go back and talk about this whole concept of faith. Because again, we hope for things. We hope for eternal life. We hope God exists. We hope Jesus rose from the dead. And we hope that the way we came to him was the correct way and the biblical way. But it's all going to be based on faith. So I want to go to a very familiar passage to a lot of people about faith in Ephesians chapter 2 that talks about this faith in God and how it works. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It said, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, dead being you were dead in your relationship with God. There was no relationship with him. In fact, the Bible even says that you were an enemy of God before coming to him. So you were dead in your faith. It says you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, who is the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He, being the devil, is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. That before we came to Christ, we used to live in a way that was rejecting his ways. So we all used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. And the ultimate expression of God's anger toward us, his wrath toward us, is that because we sinned against him and willfully sinned against him and willfully disobeyed him, he said there was going to be punishment. And in his anger and wrath, he said we would be spending eternity in hell. That is our punishment for disobeying God. But it says there, the next verse in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ Jesus. What he's saying is that we were destined for hell, and God had every right to send every person to hell and no chance for anything else. But it said there, because of his great love and his great mercy, he allows us to be with him, to be made right with him, to have our sins forgiven. And he says there, it's all through Jesus. It's through what Jesus did on the cross. And he proved what he did on the cross was truly for us by rising from the dead. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have been just another guy on a cross. There were thousands and thousands of people who died on Roman crosses. That was not unusual at all. And Jesus died on a cross with lots of other people. But when he said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, we know that's true because he rose from the dead, because nobody else died on a Roman cross and rose from the dead. But Jesus did to prove that what he said happened on the cross was true. And so God says in his love and his mercy that he provides a way to be with us through Jesus. And his mercy is simply not giving us what we deserve. His grace is giving us something we don't deserve. His mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. And we deserved hell. But his mercy says you don't have to go there. His grace says you don't deserve eternal life, but I'm going to give it to you freely. I'm going to provide a way for you to be with me, and it's through Jesus. So verse 7 continues, and he says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of his incredible wealth, of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus, that we are a walking, living testimony of God's wonderful grace and mercy, that he could take someone like me, someone like you, who had disobeyed him and walked away from him, were selfish people, but he gave us the wonderful gift of forgiveness of our sin. And he let the punishment for our sin be paid for by his son Jesus on the cross. It's truly an amazing thing that Jesus would die in our place and take our punishment that we deserved. But that's the grace and love and mercy of God. And we are a great testimony to it. But then he says in verse 8, very important verse in the Bible, one of the most pivotal verses in the Bible. It says, God saved you by his grace, his free gift. And it says, when you believed. Now that's faith. And the question is, believed what? He said he saved you by his grace when you believed. Well, what you believed is you believed that Jesus was not just a man who walked on the earth, but he really was the Son of God who came down from heaven, who lived a perfect sinless life, and he died on the cross as the perfect sinless sacrifice for me and you. That he took our sin on the cross and took that punishment for us. And we believe that. And we believe that he rose from the dead to conquer death itself and to prove that he was who he says he was. So it says, you're saved by God's grace when you believe this. And it says, you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so no one can boast about it. You can't say how good you are and that you earned your way into heaven. You just can't do it. Because if you did that, you would get all the glory and not God. So it says in the next verse, for we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. That God loves you so much that he provided the way for you to be with him. And when you have faith in what he did and you trust in him, then your hope of him existing, your hope of Jesus rising from the dead, your hope of heaven and eternal life, all those begin to increase. And now because of that, I have a tremendous hope that one day I will stand before God. I will see Jesus. I'll be in heaven. And it gives me tremendous joy and excitement about my future because it's now a great hope that we have. So one thing I would tell you is this. Look at your own life and ask the question, if you were to stand before God today, if you were to die and stand before him, what are you basing your hope on that he would let you into heaven? What is it? If you say, well, I'm a member of a church, or I go to a certain church. The Bible never says anything about a church being able to save you. It says nothing about that being the way to get into heaven. If you say, well, I'm a pretty good person compared to other people, well, here's the deal. I can easily, just like you, I can find plenty of people that I'm better than, and I can also find people I'm worse than. Comparing yourself to people doesn't matter to get you into heaven, to be good or do the right thing. You can do all kinds of religious rituals and say, well, I follow these religious rituals and do these traditions in the church. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you come through Jesus. And if you have a belief that you say, well, I sincerely believe something, well, if it's not the truth, it doesn't matter how much you believe it. God says the only way to come to him is through Jesus, to accept and believe that Jesus was your sacrifice on the cross, that he died for you to pay your punishment for your sin. And that 3 days later, he rose from the dead to conquer death itself. And when you say that, you say, you know what? I believe also that because of that, one day when I die, this body quits working, that I'll be with him forever. That just as Jesus conquered death, we will as well. And it's a matter of saying that, you know what? It's not just that I'm going to believe that and get and trust in that, but I'm also going to say my life belongs to him. That Jesus is my Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. He is the one that guides your life, directs your life. He's the one you want to honor with your life. Everything is about Jesus, not about religion, not about your church, about Jesus. That you want to honor him every moment of every day and live for his glory. And if you've never done that before, if you're trusting in something completely different, I need to warn you, you're on the wrong path. And God wants you to turn and realize it's only through giving your life to Jesus. And you say, well, how would I do that? Well, it's very simple. The Bible says we receive his free gift of salvation and his gift of forgiveness of our sin. And so in order to do that, you just call out to him in prayer and you ask him and you use from a sincere heart. There's no ritual or magic words you can say to do this. It's from a sincere heart where you say, God, I know that I've sinned against you and I know that my punishment deserves, my sin deserves the punishment of hell. But I believe that Jesus died in my place on the cross. And I believe that he rose again 3 days later to conquer death. And I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sin, to be my Lord and my Savior. And I give my whole life to you as long as I have breath. And I also receive your free gift of eternal life in heaven, that I'll be with you forever. And God can do that in your life if you're sincere about that and you mean that in your heart. I've given the example to people about when I got married to my wife. When I got married to my wife, we made vows to each other in front of a full church. There was tons of people there. She had bridesmaids. I had groomsmen. We were dressed all nice. And I said some things that day where I said, I will love you and for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poorer. And I said, forsaking all other women, I will keep myself only to you as long as we both shall live. And I said, I love you. And I told her that in front of people. But the question is, did that really mean that I love her? Just because I said some words and repeated after the pastor and I got a marriage certificate and I have a ring on my finger. The ring on my finger, the marriage certificate, and all those words I said mean nothing if my heart was not sincerely committed to her. I knew in my heart that day when I told her how much I loved her and that I would be with her until death do us part. I meant that with every fiber of my being. And it was not what I said, but what was in my heart. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. It's not some magic words you say or magic ritual. It's what's in your heart. So if you've never done that before, I hope today is going to be a day that you will ask him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life, and you will commit your life to him forever. If you're not sure how to do that and you want to ask me some questions about it, I would love to do that. If you're here where I live and you know me personally, come to me and ask me. I would love that. Call me, text me. If you're in a place where you don't know me, you just picked up this podcast somewhere, began listening, reach out to me through the email, untilsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And I would love to get in touch with you and begin that conversation to answer questions, the questions you may have, and to help you see what the Bible says is the truth about salvation. So again, if you want to do that, the email is untilsundaypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I hope that God is going to do a great work in your life through this. And before I end the podcast today, I would just like to have just a word of prayer. For those of you who may be listening that are struggling with this question of knowing whether or not you're saved, so let me pray for you real quick. Father, I love you so much, and I thank you for the free gift of salvation that we have through Jesus. And I pray right now for anyone who may be listening to this podcast, and they may be wondering, is the way they've always heard and what they've always believed, was it really the truth? Are they following the way of salvation that you lay out in your word? And God, if they have believed something false, I pray that you will convict their heart and they will see that. And they will know that they are following a wrong way. And that they will give their life to Christ today. And they will call out to you and ask you to forgive them. And they'll believe that Jesus died on the cross in their place. And he rose again 3 days later. And they will commit themselves to live for you the rest of their life until you come to take us home to be with you. Lord, for those who are truly believers, I pray that today they have gotten a great reassurance that they really are your child, they are living for you, and they have that glorious hope of eternal life waiting before them. But thank you for always loving us. Thank you for giving us your word to understand what it means to be saved and the promise and hope of eternal life. I love you, and I thank you for loving us, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and that the Lord will show himself to you in a great way. And I hope to see you again on the next podcast.